Thank you, Brother Don. Thank you, Althea. We are going to be in our sixth lesson here in this study on the practical prayer life. And we're in what we would call step number five. We're talking about when Jesus asked the question, what could you not pray with me 1 hour? And we're simply taking 12 different steps. And those 12, each step is just an example of how you can break down the 1 hour. Some people say, well, man, 1 hour, that's a long time. But if you take it in steps, if you have 12 5-minute increments, you can actually accomplish that. And doesn't mean that you're limited to five or you have to pray right at 5 minutes. It just gives you an idea of how you can break this down a little bit easier. We've already talked about in your first coming into your prayer closet, coming into your prayer time, where you start out with praise, just praising God for who he is. And we gave scripture for that. And then when you're done with praising him, you get into the area of just waiting on him. Listening, we have a hard time listening, especially just being quiet and see if the Holy Spirit's going to bring something to us. We just spent time praising him. Maybe he wants to reveal something to us through that time of praise. And then we had that time of confession. And confession should follow right on the heels of that, where the Holy Spirit's showing us things in our life, things that ought not to be there that we need to confess, things that should be there that's not that we need to confess. For he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And sin is what separates us, the Bible says, from God. And so we spend time in confession. And I think we'd be surprised how few Christians confess their sins, unless it's an emergency and they're trying to get something from God. And so this is, should be a daily time that we are looking for what we call temple cleansing. This Holy Spirit dwells within us, temple cleansing. It's what we would call foot washing, where you're coming to the Lord and wash my feet, Lord, I got them dirty, you know, and you're looking for an area of confession and cleansing. And then we ended up going last week into the area of scripture praying, using scripture to pray back to God. You're taking God's word that you've received and you're praying it back to him. I think of Psalm 5 says, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. There's that expectation. I have used that verse many times to pray back to God before I even begin the rest of my prayer time. So there's a lot of scriptures that we can use. And if we're taking scripture and reading it and personalizing it, we can take that personalized scripture and bring it back to God. We saw that last week. Tonight we are in Matthew 26 and verse 40 again. We start off with this verse every single time. And we just are looking at a small section here where he says, what could you not watch with me 1 hour, 60 minutes? 60 minutes. Hello, brother. How are you doing? 60 minutes. So we're going to get into the step five after praise and waiting and confession and scripture praying. We're getting into another one that's called watching. We use it right there. We see it in that verse there in Matthew 26, 40. What could you not watch with me 1 hour? Remember when Jesus returned to check on the disciples, they were asleep. They were asleep in perhaps the most needed hour that he could have had them be awake. And I wonder how many within the church today is asleep when we should be watching and praying. Folks, there's a lot that is going on in our world, a lot. These are not just happenings or circumstances that are just, it just seems to be something that's happening. You got Middle East things that are happening that could erupt major quickly and could alter global situations with Israel involved. So Jesus is asking the disciples, what could you not watch with me? And then he said later, pray with me 1 hour. And so watch and pray. He challenges his disciples then. He challenges us now, which brings us to step number five, and that is watching. What does that actually mean? Let me give you some basic definition of what it is in the time of prayer. And I want you to understand that watching is a part of praying. Okay, it's very important. The basic definition, it is an act of mental awareness, an act of mental awareness of what is going on around you and how that can impact you to be more effective in your prayer time. The action focus here is sensitive alertness. Sensitive alertness. Being so in tune with God that you are sensitive to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, listening for Him. That you, when He speaks and brings, you could be praying and have Him bring somebody up to your mind. How many of you ever had somebody come to your mind that's out of nowhere? That is being sensitive to the Spirit of God, that you should take time to intercede for that person. And so that's part of watching in that area there, is having a sensitive alertness. The key word here is observation. There's your blank. Observation. How perceptive are you? How perceptive am I? What are we seeing taking place that we need to be bringing in for specific prayer? I want you to take your Bible and turn, and I've showed this example several different times, but I want to show the emphasis of it again in 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings 6. And I want you to notice what's taking place here. We'll have the prophet Elisha is on the scene. And there is, notice if you would, at verse number 11. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? This is an incredible, incredible story. The king of Syria does not like Israel. And every time he plans a plot against them, they find out about it. Okay? And now he's asking his servants, it'd be like, if I was king of Assyria, or of Syria, not you or my servants, I'd say, who? Who what? Who's a whistle? Who's letting stuff out? That's what he was looking for. Now, listen to what the servant says here. And verse 12, and one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. He's in private. And he's talking about his plans and his plots against Israel and the king of Israel. And he goes, when you're talking about it in your bedchamber, nobody's running out and telling him. He goes, the prophet Elijah is being told by God. This is really cool to me. Because that means, listen, that means what they're talking about right now, Elijah's hearing about as well. As he's talking to this servant, I'm sure Elijah knows y'all right now. It's almost like he's got a party line, huh? He says, the prophet is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Watch. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan, however you want to pronounce it. Now listen, he tells these guys what to do. Do you think Elisha knows it? Sure does. I'll guarantee you that. Now watch. Therefore sent he thither, watch, horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? It's nighttime. They snuck in. They came in stealth. It's early morning. He gets up. The servant gets up to get things ready to go. He comes out of the tent and all of a sudden he's looking around and he sees these horses, this army, and the chariots are a huge host. And he says, Master Elisha, what are we going to do? Now, it's interesting because it doesn't say that Elisha had come out of the tent. But he's asking Elisha what to do, and Elisha, you would think, humanly speaking, has no idea what he's talking about unless God had already told him. Because the servant was surprised. Would you take that as a truth? Elisha, when he comes out, isn't. Verse 16, and he answered, Fear not, don't be afraid, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now, this servant saw the mighty Syrian army, and that was all he saw. And Elijah's calming him down, you have no reason to be afraid. There's more of us than there are of them. And I could see that servant going, me, you. And Elisha evidently has been watchful in his prayer time, and he prays another prayer here. He's interceding for the servant. Verse 17, and Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. 9 words. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And in those 9 words, it says, the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So you have the Syrian army all the way around them, a huge, great host, the Bible says, and there was more fiery chariots, which, remember, he saw one already when God came and switched up his master and his mantle dropped and he took over Elijah's place and a fiery chariot took him back. Now he sees one that is a group of them that is greater than the host of the Syrian army. Now, I want you to see how God used a man who is a man of prayer help someone who wasn't as effective in their own prayer life, or at least the watching, being alert, being observant. Now, with that in mind, he prayed for him, he opened his eyes, and he saw exactly what he needed to see, and it took away, I'll guarantee you, it took away his fear. Now, I want you to jump over to the New Testament book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll get to the lesson in a minute. Sorry, I love this story, so I get carried away. And I'll hear about it on the way home. But she loves this one too. Look what Paul is here. Would you consider Paul a man of God? Would you consider Paul a man of prayer? Which would include that he understands the importance of watching. Okay? Just like Elisha. Look at chapter 1, verse 15. Paul is speaking to believers, New Testament saints, and he says, Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What was he praying for them? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, revealing things to you in the knowledge of him. Now watch verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's exactly what Elijah prayed for the servant. Open his eyes, enlighten him, and reveal the truth of what's actually taking place in this situation. When we're in situations, and situations that can be circumstances that are fearful, we're not seeing the true picture always. And we need to be observant. We need to have our eyes enlightened. Paul's praying that you would open their eyes that they may see. And this is what the disciples were actually missing out on, and a good group of disciples in 2026 can be missing out on things that God wants us to see and observe and take away a lot of our fears. By the way, remember when Jesus came to them and says, could you not watch with me? It was just before going to the cross. The trial, all that was taking, getting ready to come up on him. In your pages here, watching, and we'll look at a biblical basis. And I want you to understand this area of watching. I got to be careful how I say this. We are to be, the Bible says, praying in the Spirit, correct? Well, this is where the Holy Spirit is definitely a part of, no question. Giving illumination. Seeing things that, humanly speaking, we can't see. Paul wrote to the church and he says, in Corinth, he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. What? For the things which are seen, he goes, those are temporal at best, but the things which are not seen are eternal. They're eternal. Look what he says here in Colossians 4 and verse 2. He writes, Paul writes, continue in prayer. Now, before we go on, that word continue in the Greek literally means to be diligent in prayer. And yet, it is one of the least done things in the Christian life. Do you know that they have found out by doing studies that there's an estimated that 75% or more people that profess Christianity do not have a consistent prayer life. Do not. They do not spend time talking with their Savior. He says, be diligent, continue in prayer, and look what Paul says, and watch. Watch in the same with thanksgiving. Stay alert. As I take today and was going through the prayer map that we have for people to pray over, all of the countries that have at least some type of a gospel witness in them that are named as you pray around the world, today was the 25th. If they have a gospel witness or churches within them that have been established, the country is in black. If it has no gospel witness, it's in red. Today was the 25th. They were all red. Kazakhstan, Afghanistan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Pakistan, India, Maldives, all of these places, folks. And if you understand where they're at and you're praying for them, that's a region that's very volatile. So you don't just pray, Lord, I pray that you would save them. You start praying for the leaders of there. God is not willing that any should perish. He wants Putin saved. He wants Kim saved. And you go through, and I was looking at the names of the people that lead these things. And I thought, Lord, you know how to pronounce them, and you're not willing to, any of these people that I cannot pronounce, you don't want them to go to hell. So we pray for all that are in authority, the Bible says. So in that prayer, we have access to see things and God, be listening and watching that there's some serious things that are happening in the Middle East that we need to bring in our prayer time. When I pray for our nation, I'm praying for our commander-in-chief to be a man of great wisdom and discernment, and that he has good men that are righteous who understand. And I think we have quite a few who understand that righteousness exalts a nation and that sin is a reproach. It will bring down any nation. So as I pray, Lord, I have been praying, we have probably one of the greatest strength armies in the world today. No doubt about it. But our confidence is not in horses and chariots. Our confidence is in the Lord. I pray for our military. I pray for our law. Be bold. Be courageous. Be brave. But be confident in your Lord. I mean, we're here, and we're dealing with Venezuela. We're dealing with Mexico. We're dealing with Iran, with the threats of China and Russia. We have Israel that we're aligned with, thank the Lord. But I'm just saying there's a lot of wisdom and insight that God gives us on how to effectively pray for them. All I know is that I'm praying, I'm thinking, wow, Lord, this could really heat up into something major that could affect everything here. But I do know one thing. Russia and China and Iran, they're all clearly named in the last days. So we know that we're not going to get rid of them. They're going to still be here. So it should change how we pray, because we have a better knowledge of what the scriptures teach. How do we pray more effectively? Here we see that we are to be watching in the same with thanksgiving, and we are to be diligent. Listen to what Isaiah 62:6 says. I have set a watchman upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. In other words, Isaiah says, don't ever rest. What did he find the disciples doing? Resting in the most needed hour. Folks, I want to say that I talked with Paul, we were talking. I believe that we're not just in the last days. I believe we're getting into the last minutes of the last days, and there is no time to rest. Not to keep silent in your prayer time. Psalm 130, verse 7, let Israel hope. I love doing word studies. The word hope here in the Hebrew means to watch and wait. Let Israel hope in the Lord. Watch and wait for the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him plenteous of redemption. Isaiah goes on in Isaiah 52, verse 8, and then verse 10. He says, thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing. And by the way, that will be one of our steps in our going around in prayer, is having a hymn book, whether you sing it or just read the hymn to the Lord. Great time I always have in them. For they shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. And as we pray around our globe, these maps here of globe, praying for God to rebuke the principalities and powers in the area through the blood and in the name of Christ, and that he would open up the minds of them. The Bible says Satan has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Remove the blinders. Open up their hearts that they can gladly receive the word. Be baptized. Be discipled, and then go out and do the same thing as we pray for workers and laborers into the field. And then you read in Revelation, well, there is a number that no man could number of the redeemed of every tribe and tongue and nation and people. And to think, by the grace of God, we are being able to pray around the world for different countries every single day of the month, that our prayers may be a part of what's sending forth those people. He says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into his harvest. We might be a part of those people being there. That's being alert. That's being watchful of what's taking place and how to be more effective in our time of prayer. J.C. Riley says this, always be on the alert to travel toward the goal of prayer, to disallow any unwanted words from mixing in, and to keep yourselves from praying prayers that are not prayers at all. That's a mouthful. That's one you might want to think on for a while. But he's absolutely 100% correct. On your next page, page 30. So you guys are on page 29. I'm glad that you're being watchful and alert. The next point here is watching a life application. Is that what you have? Let me see what you got. You're not even writing in yours.
Watching. You haven't done any of this, but you read that.
Did I leave that one out? Maybe I'm not being watchful. Hold on. 30, 31. I've got it here. Yeah. Watching in prayer and overview. Sorry, my pages stuck together. All right. An overview is to watch, is to be alert. Alert. Think about that if you have an early morning prayer time. Being alert can be an issue when you are trying to stay awake and wanting to doze, you know. Coffee. Yep. I think I shared where there was a lady who, her and her husband had a prayer closet, and they would pray together. They'd go in there. They had a chair here, and a table in between. And they'd take their coffee in there, and because they felt that they were just talking with the Lord. And then he passed away. And then she said she would go in there, and she'd still take a cup of coffee in there. And she goes, and she would assume that, Jesus, you're invited to sit here, and here's a cup of coffee here. And she would just talk and talk and talk to the Lord. And she goes, he always showed up. He always was talking with me. But he just never drank his coffee. She was a sweetheart. But anyway, spend time. Be alert. Alertness defines the ability to anticipate right responses. The ability to anticipate right responses to that which is taking place around me, to concentrate, big word there, to concentrate on what is happening in a situation so as to react accordingly, or you could put respond accordingly. You may be praying for children. You may be praying for direction. You may be praying about certain circumstances. And here's the weirdest thing, that as you get older, so do your children, and the prayers become more complex of different things that they're going through. I told the Lord the other day, Father, through Jesus says, if you have done this to the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. Y'all know the setting where Jesus was letting it be known that I was in prison, you came to me. When you visited me, when I had a need, you met that need. And they're going on and on and on. And they said, Lord, when did we do this and when did we do that? He says, when you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And I was thinking on that verse, and I was just saying, Lord, I'm praying for my children right now. There's some specific needs. And Lord, if you do it unto them, you're doing it unto me too. What you do for them is being done for me and my wife as well. Amen? And I just want to thank you in advance that everything begins to intertie and twine together. Your children, your grandchildren, your life, your church's life, the people there. I mean, it just continues to go on. Folks, you say, I can't pray that long. There's not enough. There's a lot if you take time. And if you're watching and alert, there's a lot going on in everybody's life, let alone our world and its situation. And the comfort comes that our great God is on the throne with 8 billion plus people who all have issues going on in their lives, multiple issues. And he's hearing any and all who call upon him and is not fretting and overwhelmed. Somebody said, if you're ever in deep water, you may be over. They said, if you're ever over your head in deep water, remember it's under his feet. Amen. He walks on water. Amen. Listen to this voice, Watchman Nee. This guy was a man who was a prayer warrior. He's got several books out. Listen to what he says. We must not only be watchful in keeping the time of prayer, but also be watchful during prayer time so that we may really pray. We must watch in our prayer lest it become vague. It is evident that many matters need to be settled. Many people require intercession. The central message of God must be revealed, and not a few problems wait to be solved. Yet at the time of prayer, there does not seem to be any definite subject for which to pray. And there is a total lack of words to express our prayer. We struggle to say two or three sentences before we cease altogether. Clearly, a satanic assault is involved here. And we know how much Satan opposes prayer. We've looked at Daniel praying for 21 days. And finally, the angel comes and says, God heard you the first day, but there was an angel that kept the other angel from bringing the message. And God sent Michael to take care of him so that I could come and bring it 21 days later. There's a battle. It'll be one of the hardest things that you can commit to consistently. And I'm not joking. I've said this almost every week. It is a battle for me to, I can read the scriptures. I can study. But there's a bit of a battle when it comes to praying. Sometimes I will even get up and do some other things, planning on coming back. And the only thing that brings me back is the verse where Samuel says, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. My prayer, your prayer, may be what your children or your church family needs at that time. Our prayers, whether we skip over the prayer map, I'll tell you, there may be someone there that God is ready to send forth, and you have to pray that they would go forth. I think we're going to find out one day just how much prayer. The Bible says it's like an incense that comes up before God, and when he hears our prayers, he's like, oh. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. And it comes up to him when it's sincere and genuine as an incense. Summary definition of watching, it's a time to concentrate. There's your blank. A time to concentrate. It is easy to get distracted in your prayer time. You must stay alert. It's easy to get distracted in your Bible reading. Have you ever been reading, and next thing you know, when you finish, if somebody says, tell me what you just read. Have you guys ever gone somewhere while you're reading here? You ever traveled, take a trip and never leave the farm they used to sing? We have to be watchful. We have to have a time that when we enter into this devotional time, we have to have time to concentrate. Dr. Curtis Mitchell, he wrote a book on praying in Jesus' name, says this: to pray correctly, one must be mentally alert and vigilant. Much praying is hampered by a dull, drowsy frame of mind. I would say that's probably universal. Thus, we need to heed what he's saying. Watching now as a prayer application. And your blank is develop holy alertness. Develop holy alertness. When we talk about developing something, we're talking about making something happen where it wasn't happening. Develop a holy alertness. The psalmist says this, that before you, and you can use this as we talked about, one of the things was praying scripture back to God. One of the scriptures that you can pray back to God before you have your, I always do my reading first and then my prayer time. But before we get into the reading, you can say, Lord, you said in your word, open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Help me, oh, that's that illumination. Now you're praying exactly what Paul was for the church, now for yourself. Look what he says here. Always be on the alert to travel toward the goal of prayer, to disallow any unwanted words for mixing in, and to keep yourselves from praying prayers that are not prayers at all. I think I read that one already. Now let's look at watching, page 30. Watching, and this is the life application. This is taking it from the prayer closet. Now, from the instructional time to the lab, when you used to do that in school, put it to practice. Watch out for others. Watch out for others. Our scripture that we started out with, Jesus came to the disciples, had asked them to pray. He went a stone's distance away, comes back, they're sound asleep. By the way, that happened three times. Three times. And he says, what could you not, here's the key, could you not watch with me? With me. We need to be watching with others. And that's what we're talking about, watch out for others. Listen to what this woman, Ann Townsend, has said. She has a book. I have not read it yet. I was reading over, skimming it. It's called Praying. The title is interesting. It's called Praying Without Pretending. You think that there's a lot of Christians that pretend in their life? She says, praying without pretending. Listen to what she says. If I can imagine what it must be like to be the one for whom I am praying, if I can imagine what it must be like to be the one for whom I'm praying, then I find that I can begin to intercede for that person. My imagination leads me to want to be more deeply involved with him in his own life. This involvement leads to caring, and caring leads to love, and love leads me to intercession. We can be taking prayer requests, and it can be a fairly serious one to me, or to you, and ask others to pray. And sometimes, if it's not an emergency in our life, we don't take it as one in theirs. And we don't pray as intense as we would hope that they would be if we had asked them to pray for ours. Is that making any sense? And so what she's saying, if I can put myself, Job says, I sat where they sat. If I can put myself in Don's situation and really think about it. Don doesn't have any situations going on, but if I did, if I could, he did have a situation with their plumbing and their house stuff. We've been there, so I could really understand how to effectively pray for them in that situation. But we need to understand those different types of things. Didn't we have that problem before? Foundation. Yeah, foundation. Yeah, sorry. I hope you don't have plumbing issues coming up. All right. But if we put ourselves in those situations to be what they are going through, it will create a greater intercessory prayer, and you won't just be pretending to pray for them. I'll be praying for you. So we have here your circle. We've covered five. We have praise. Recognize God's nature, Psalm 63. We have waiting, which was considered silent soul surrender. Be still and know that I am God. We had confession. We called temple cleansing time. Search me, O God, Psalm 139. We had scripture, praying, word enriched prayer. And then tonight is watching. Develop a holy alertness. As Paul said, continue in prayer and watch. Give strict attention to this time, this hour. Be cautious, be active, keep awake. Now, where to next? Here are some ways to get started and keep going. Number one, take a few moments during your prayer to become spiritually alert. Watch for methods that Satan may try to use to hinder your Christian walk that day. One of the methods he will try to use, as you even have started your prayer time, somebody will text you and it will ding. So now you're going to have to say, who is more important right now? Does it make you feel like you have to rush through now because you have to see who it is? I'll guarantee you, 99.9% of the time, it can wait. Okay, that's one of his methods. Read missionary evangelism newsletters, magazines, books. Carl just gave me one. I started that. I'm on section two of it on Hudson Taylor. Great man, great missionary, great insights and what he shares in those areas. Thank you, Carl. Prayerfully recall various news developments from what you're seeing. Remember what's going on in the world today and pray for that. Bring that in. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal further spiritual facts about these issues, whether it's Venezuela, the things that are happening in our world. Folks, the Bible says that we are to pray for all that are in authority. That is important to God, that you and I are praying for kings and all that are in authority. And he tells us why it should be important to you, that you and I may live a peaceful life. Things will go better when you're praying for these people. Now let's close out with the prayer points below. Looking back, this is interesting, looking back over the past 24 hours, can you think of something you have heard or read in the news that is worthy of your prayers and intercession? Is there anything in our world today that you could say, Lord, I want to intercede and pray for this situation? Can you think of anything in the last 24 hours? And then he says, to watch is to let the Holy Spirit reveal the significance of such an issue. And then take that. It's not like I can sit there and think a bunch of things, but Lord, what is it that you want me to intercede for? And then I want to take time tonight and do exactly that. So not, we're not talking about praying for missionaries around the world tonight, though we should pray for them on our, those times. This is about global intercession tonight. You can pray for any area, any section, but just say, Lord, who do you want me to intercede for? And help me to spend a few minutes here tonight. We got 7 minutes left just to pray for wisdom, for safety, for peace. You can always be right on track when the Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And they need it tonight as well. So let's go ahead and take time. I'm going to let you either pray by yourself or you can couple up with somebody, just one or two of you tonight, and just take time to ask God to show you, Lord, how alert, how watchful am I? And then when he tells you who or what, go ahead and bring it to him.